Stephen.
Zoobs, welcome back to part two. So yesterday we talked about the return of baseball. Today you're going to help me pick the teams that I am going to bandwagon for the 60-game season. First of all, how do you feel about bandwagons in general?
I'm totally fine with it. I think in the modern era of like MLB TV and in how many games you get to watch and, you know, fantasy sports and how much access we have, it almost seems like you're limiting yourself to only pick one team and only care about one team. There are so many good players and there's so many teams around the league, and you're given access to them that we didn't have before. I think part of the anti-bandwagon way of the world before was that you really only had your local team. So you really, like, you'd either be cheering for your local team or cheering against your local team. And I think that sort of is not as prevalent as it was in the past. So I'm fully in favor of it. I remember back in the day, we used to call it liberated fandom, where you were just cheering for what you think is the most fun team to watch.
Yeah, there's no need to box yourself in, especially just geographically. So, you know, as a noted 2018 Golden Knights fan, a 2020 Liverpool fan, recently transferred to Manchester United after Liverpool won the EPL, like Kawhi Leonard, and, you know, occasional Toronto Maple Leafs fan when they are up by 3 goals in the third period and then hopping off the bandwagon when they blow that 3-goal lead. I'm here to pick, with your help, one team. So here's what I was thinking. Just like the playoffs, because there's going to be 4 teams in the playoffs, let's just assume, you know, the wild card winner and 3 division winners. So I want to pick 4 teams,
okay,
in each league. So 1 in each division and then kind of a bonus team. And I don't really have criterias. You know, I'm sure you're going to explain to me why you're recommending some of these teams. You know, maybe a mix. You know, I would like at least one, like, just really dominant team, just so I can just be a pure front runner.
Right.
But I also don't mind kind of underdog teams and like a fun team where I can tweet, like, you know, never underestimate the heart of, you know, an AL East pennant. Okay, let's start in the AL East. So I'm just going to make Toronto kind of my bonus team.
Right. That's an easy one.
Just because, you know, obviously I'm from Toronto, despite owning 9 New York Yankees hats. Apologies. So the Toronto Blue Jays, we know about that young core. I think you were talking about Nate Pearson on the last episode in terms of young pitchers. And, you know, there's at least 2 Asian players on the Jays.
Yes,
and I don't know if there's other secret Asians that we don't know about, like maybe Bo Bichette's great-grandfather was Asian. I don't know where I'm going with that. So what about the Blue Jays, besides all of that, should I be excited about?
Yeah, this is a great start. And for the record, I've decided I'm going to give you 2 teams per division and let you pick which of the 2 you would bandwagon, because it's doable that way. But to get with the Jays, it's a young team. A lot of these guys are really young and really exciting. And they're the sons of guys you remember. Dante Bichette's kid, Bo Bichette, is a stud. Craig Biggio, Hall of Famer, his son, Kevin, on this team. And of course, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., son of Vladimir Guerrero, who is one of the greatest players of our youth, and it was just a ton of fun to watch grow up. This is a great pick for a 60-game season because, you know, anything can happen in these runs, and Bo Bichette in his 60-ish games last season was one of the best players in the league in that small sample. And I'm really, really high on Bo Bichette. I think that's a guy that you can build around and does a little bit of everything. He plays the most important defensive position. He swings aggressively. He runs hard. He plays hard. You know, it's a fun team to look at because along with those young guys, the rest of the outfielders, like Teoscar Hernandez is a really funny guy. Like when he makes misplays, they're huge misplays. And when he looks good, he looks really good. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is another guy. He's got like pineapple hair. It goes straight up. he's always having fun. So they're always having fun, which is, you would think would be obvious, but it's not always the case with baseball teams. The big problem here is they don't really have any pitching behind Hyunjin Ryu, who, as you mentioned, is one of the two Asian players in the team, with, along with Shun Yamaguchi, and Nate Pearson, who is probably going to be called up a week into the season. Pearson's the really interesting one. He's huge. He throws like 103 miles an hour, and no one has really squared him up through spring training or summer camp. So he's the guy that, like, the sky is the limit. He could really be great right away, and that is sort of the new wave, as guys are coming in more ready than they were before. As well, another big bonus on the bandwagon here, as you mentioned, is they don't have a home stadium. So you get to cheer for, like, this team with no country, with no home. Nobody believes in them. No one wants them to stay at their house. And yet they travel the country in face of the pandemic. Wherever they show up, they raise hell. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It could also, I will warn you, this could also be a catastrophe. They could go 20-40. It's not crazy. But I think it's just a really fun young team. Prospects are always fun. You get to watch these guys come into their own and learn the game on the fly. And the really good thing about cheering for the Blue Jays this year is every outcome is acceptable. If they're bad, you go, yeah, it's a building year and it doesn't really matter, and it's 60 games. If they're good, you get to be like, oh my God, they're ahead of schedule. They're going to be the most dominant team of the next 10 years. This is perfect. It's the easiest fail-proof bet. And slowly but surely, the American media, when, you know, the sake of content, people have to put out sleeper teams to look for. The Blue Jays are on everybody's sleeper team list, because these young prospects, before you know how good they are, the sky is the limit to how good they can be. And Vladdy is supposed to be the best hitter of the generation. It didn't quite happen last year, but when he has it clicking, basically nobody in the league hits the ball harder. And that is the most fun thing to watch, sort of in that realm. So lots of fun to be behind with the Blue Jays, and stress-free.
Yeah, you know, it's really embarrassing that you were able to properly pronounce the two Asian names on the team better than I did. I was totally avoiding that and just setting you up for it. You know, shouts to Buffalo, but it's hilarious that, you know, the best case scenario right now, I feel like, for the Jays is, you know, rooting for the fact that they can just play in Buffalo for the entire season. Because what's going on right now? Like, Pittsburgh might, you know, share the park with them. Like, they're just going to be floating around for 60 games, I guess.
Yeah, I saw, and this may even be solved by the time this comes out, but I saw recently they have five contingency plans: Buffalo, Dunedin, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and one other. So there's some places. The good thing is Pittsburgh and Baltimore are both gorgeous ballparks, and that's no big, if they're playing in those ballparks, that's at least nicer to watch. They might play in three stadiums this year. I don't know. They have no idea. The one thing that is a problem is they didn't seem to have this backup plan figured out when they came to Canada, which was a huge, I would have that figured out personally if I was in charge. I would have figured that out before I moved to Canada.
Yeah, you know, I hope they do figure it out by the time this podcast comes out, because it'll be Friday and the season is starting. So I want to pick another team, you know, in the AL East. So I don't know if you're with me here. I'm sure you've prepped and, you know, given,
yep,
you know, some thought to kind of teams you want to suggest. I don't think I want to bandwagon either Baltimore or Boston.
Correct.
Just because, you know, I don't know. When I think of Baltimore, I don't know. Like, what's cool about the Baltimore Orioles?
No, they're going to be so bad.
Yeah. Shouts to a Roberto Alomar spitting on an umpire. Toronto Blue Jays legend. Shouts to, who is it? Buck Showalter not bringing in the closer,
yes,
in the wild card game.
That's right.
Yeah, there's just nothing cool about Baltimore. And, you know, I don't really like their merch. Boston Red Sox, self-explanatory. So, you know, I guess it comes down to the Yankees and Rays. Do you agree? And do you want to make the pitch for either of them?
Totally. This was the two I was going to present you, was Yankees and Rays. The Yankees, of course, is your chance to pick a dominant team. There's no reason they shouldn't be the best team in the American League. And I feel like you lived in New York. People never talk about living in New York. So maybe
Yeah, on the final six episodes of this podcast, it'll just be a six-part serial, like a long-form podcast about my 3 years in New York. First of all, how do you feel? People really get on me. Like when I wear like a Yankees hat on like Run It Back, people on YouTube will comment and be like, come on, you can't do that. Or I remember last year I met up with my grade eight English teacher and, you know, posted a really wholesome photo of the two of us on Twitter. And all anybody could say is, I can't believe you're wearing a Yankees hat. Like, is it really that bad? Like, I just like the Yankees hat because their logo is like the Louis Vuitton of MLB.
I am an outlier in this way, in that I've always liked the Yankees as like a institution. It's you can't tell the story of baseball history without talking about the Yankees for like half of it. And I mentioned in the last episode sort of about the labor problems that baseball has and that teams are getting really reluctant to spend money. And you and I grew up as children of the 90s and early 2000s when the Yankees were the most hated team in the world because all they did was buy the best players. And to me, that narrative has flipped because buying the best players is what you're supposed to do. Every team in the league has the chance to buy the best players. The Yankees and Dodgers are just the ones that do it. So I don't hate the Yankees in the way that everybody else does. I hate the Red Sox because fuck the Red Sox and they're racist. I would rather cheer for the Yankees than the Red Sox 10 days out of 10, not even close. In terms of bandwagon, the Yankees are your chance to have the best team in the league on your side. Every player on the team hits home runs. They're ridiculous. They're huge. Last year, they had a ton of injuries and they called up absolute nobodies. Giovanni Urshela, who the Blue Jays gave away for free, was one of the best third basemen in the league last year for no reason other than that he played on the Yankees. They have that weird magic that they can just call up anybody and they'll be good. It's really annoying if you don't like them, but if you cheer for them, it's a great thing to be like, oh yeah, we'll call up Mike Tauchman and he'll be better than your best outfielder. It's like, oh, I can't stand that shit. They're the loudest and most annoying guys in the room. So that's always fun. The other option is the Rays, which is the exact opposite. They are annoying for the exact opposite reasons. And the wave in baseball lately is teams try to operate as cheaply as possible and they really cut costs anywhere they can. And the Rays perfected this. They made this their Bible. And the reason I always respect begrudgingly the Tampa Bay Rays is at least they cut costs and try to find these edges in the name of winning. Other teams do it just to be cheap. The Rays do it to be cheap and to win. This is sort of a utilitarian, the entire team is guys who will play any position. There's no, like, any rules of baseball that you have hard and fast in your brain as to how a lineup should be constructed or how a rotation should be constructed. They spit in the face of those. I think last year they had two starting pitchers. They'd have two starters and the other 3 days they would just do bullpen the whole game. It drives you nuts. And the dirty secret is, every team's front office wants to be the Rays. They all want to operate this way. And they've kind of broken the league. So it's sort of fun to cheer for those disruptors, to use a term from startup culture. And as well, they don't really have any fans. So you're bandwagoning a team that will absolutely welcome you aboard. And nobody's like, oh, I hate Rays fans, because they basically don't exist. So basically your choice here is, do you want the rich, obnoxious, or the absolute unknowns? I would lean Yankees if I were you, but I can't force you to make this call.
No, I think, unfortunately, the clear choice for me are the Yankees. Yeah. Rooting for the Tampa Bay Rays feels too close to rooting for Tillman Fertitta's budget plan. So I don't want that. And I'm not trying to spend $300 on like a Rocco Baldelli Rays throwback jersey. Whereas the Yankees, you can just buy bootlegs because there's no names on the back. So you can just pick any random number, which I think gives them an advantage. So you talked about like all the stars that the Yankees have on their team. Give me like a player that is a deeper cut that I can start referencing on social media so real heads know that I'm a Yankees fan for real.
Gleyber Torres, he's their second baseman. He's young. For like 2 years, I think it's similar to Jaylen Brown about how all they do is talk about how young he is. Like when Gleyber Torres plays well, all you tweet is Gleyber Torres is 23.
Yeah, no, I love that. And is Michael Kay still calling the games with
his calls?
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm all in, man. Let's go. Let's go, Yankees. 27 rings. Shout-outs to Desus and Miro. Okay, so I've got the Yankees and the Blue Jays in the AL East. Let's get to the AL Central. So I'm only picking one team from here. Can I knock off Detroit? Because you said they might go 5-55. I'm not trying to
deal with that. Nothing fun about watching the Detroit. You also don't want Kansas City. Nothing also really bad. I would say this is between the White Sox and the Twins is my personal.
I'm with you on that because I'm too woke to root for a team named the Indians in the year 2020. And aren't they like, didn't they have like a really good team, but then they like refused to spend money to like just get over the hump?
That's the story of how it goes. They beat the Blue Jays in 2016. They were a very good team in 2016 and 2017. And then they sold off their pitching. They have a star in Francisco Lindor that they are either going to trade or let walk because they don't want to pay to have one of the best shortstops in the league. So it comes down to the Twins and the White Sox, sort of diametrically opposed things here. The Twins, there's a bunch of benefits. You get former Blue Jays, you get Josh Donaldson on this team as well. The manager, I believe, is Paul Molitor. And you remember Paul Molitor from the Blue Jays heyday. He is the guy on the bench. Oh, pardon me. The manager is Rocco Baldelli. They fired Paul Molitor. So you get your Rocco Baldelli vintage throwback. You get him as the manager of the Twins. This is a really interestingly built team because they were like, similar to the Yankees and similar to how baseball was going, they're like, what if we just had guys who hit home runs at every single position? The whole team is home run guys. They added Josh Donaldson. I think the White Sox are probably your pick here. You also get Edwin Encarnacion, and they're young. They're sort of the White Sox are the blueprint of what the Blue Jays hope to be in a year to 2 years, where they have young guys like Yoan Moncada or Luis Robert, who is a giant. He's like 6'7" and he hits bombs, and he's a rookie, and that's a fun one to always cheer for. And they added Edwin Encarnacion, and they added a couple pitchers in free agency, and most importantly, similar to the Yankees hat, the black White Sox hat is also very stylish. Ice Cube, NWA back in the day, rocked the White Sox hat, so that's sort of a style thing. Black and white, you really can't go wrong. I would pick the White Sox if I were you, but I wouldn't blame you for picking the Twins, getting Josh Donaldson, getting Minnesota, which is a nice ballpark. Getting a lot of home runs with that team and the guarantee that they're probably the best team in the division.
Yeah, this one is tough and it's hilarious because I own both a White Sox and a Minnesota Twins hat for some reason.
You own a Twins hat?
Yeah, I don't know. I bought this like 2 years ago, I think on a lid sale. It's still sitting in my closet, dead stock if anybody wants it. This one's tough. You know, shout outs. Is Joe Mauer retired now or is he still playing?
He retired. It was actually quite a emotional moment last year. Joe Mauer came out and moved behind the plate and caught an inning in his last game. And that was like not a dry eye in the house for that.
I only know Joe Mauer because I know his walk-up music was T.I. What You Know for like his entire career. I read a story about that. The White Sox have Tim Anderson, right? He's cool.
Yes, they do. Tim Anderson is one of the coolest guys in the league.
Yeah. So based on that, and you know, you made the pitch with the color scheme, I'm going to go with the Chicago White Sox.
That's a good pick, man. I also am bandwagoning the White Sox this year. Tim Anderson's great. Edwin Encarnacion, we've all enjoyed many times, and I'm really excited to see Luis Robert. He played in Ottawa in the minor leagues, and they signed him before actually having him play in the major leagues, which is something that more teams should do, and hopefully they break through, because if they break through, that means the Blue Jays can break through not long after. But the AL Central is the beigest division in the league, no question.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. AL West. So let's get rid of some teams first. Seattle's not supposed to be good, right?
No, Seattle's not. Seattle is maybe currently, now that the Jays have had a good couple of years, Seattle is in the discussion for most tortured fan base in the league. I know SB Nation, they did a 5-hour video series about the history of the Mariners and how they went from that Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson, A-Rod heyday to like 20 full years of total, just like, not even, you forget they exist sometimes. If it wasn't for Ichiro, you would forget this team existed.
Yeah, shouts to the Mariners, man. Definitely one of the teams of the 90s, and, you know, still got, in my opinion, one of the coolest jerseys and hat combos in the league. But unfortunately, you're going to have to cut them. Got to cut the Houston Astros because they're cheaters. But also, it's hilarious. So, like, they were supposed to get booed, like, everywhere and just heckled. And now they get to skip all this. And are the people who got suspended for, like, an entire season, like, do they just serve these 60 games and then they can come back in MLB?
Yeah, man. They got the Astros are the big winners of COVID-19. They're going to get their manager back. They're going to get their GM back. They're going to get, like, they're going to skate by on so much of this. It's crazy. Like, they're probably not going to get beaned. Like, they were going to get beaned in every series. Every team was going to bean them. And that's probably not going to happen either, because I don't think there's going to be fights like there were last year. I think that's probably going to be curtailed quite a bit, because who wants to jump together in one big pile? Yeah, the Astros are going to skate on all this. It's infuriating.
No, it sucks. And they're still a really good team, right?
They should be, yeah. Not as dominant as they were in years past, but they kept all the hitters. They should be crushing baseballs, no problem. They don't have Garrett Cole. That's the one. The Yankees have Garrett Cole, and as we already said, that's our Yankees.
Yeah, that's our Yankees, man. You know, shave your beard. So I got to eliminate the Texas Rangers, too, just because.
Yeah.
And so I think you agree it comes down to Oakland and the Angels. Yes. The Angels are interesting. You know, they got the Asian quotient, but they also have Anthony Rendon, who I believe is a Republican. Is Albert Pujols still there?
Yes. And by the way, if you're going to rule these guys,
hilarious, but go ahead.
If you're going to rule guys out on having Republicans on the team, I got bad news for you about 75% of the players you're about to look at.
It's hilarious because I'm literally rooting for the Yankees, a team who makes their players shave their facial hair and look uniform across the board.
This is the ultimate, like, the Angels and the Athletics couldn't be more opposed. The Angels, you get Mike Trout, who is the best player of the generation. Every year gets closer to the conversation of, is he one of the best players ever? You get Rendon, who, like you said, is a Republican, but was also one of the best players on a World Series team last year. You get Pujols, who is really old. You get Andrelton Simmons, who is the best defensive player to watch in the league. And as you said, the Asian quotient, Shohei Ohtani is a miracle. This dude is, like, it shouldn't happen. He's a great pitcher and he's a great hitter. He's going to DH for them. They're really fun in that way. They have no pitching to speak of in any way, shape, or form. And the Athletics is the exact opposite. The Athletics, every year they do this, is like, you have no idea who's on the team. They're a bunch of nobodies, and you look up and they won 98 games and they made the wild card. They do it every single year. I don't see any reason why they won't do it again this year. It's basically, do you want to have the team full of stars that underachieves, or the team with no stars that always overachieves? That is the question you have on this bandwagon.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just tired of the A's, man. Like, they've been around, obviously, Moneyball and all that stuff. And, like, you know, I think I gave up on them after Derek Jeter made that play, you know, when Jeremy Giambi was coming home and he didn't slide. I was like, you guys are trash. I'm going to go with the Angels, man. You know, I know they're, like, notoriously, like, they spend, like, $500 million on payroll and then they win, like, 78 games in a normal season. But there's just so many storylines and star power there. And yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Angels. Do you think they have a chance to, like, make the playoffs?
I think so. I think they might be a team that looks at 60 games and it helps them out. And the fun of the Angels, Mike Trout it's one of those things. I think Kawhi is a good comparison in that maybe if you tune into any one game, you're like, yeah, he's the best player on the team. But when you follow him for a whole season, you're like, damn, he's just excellent every minute of every game. Like, it's just, he's just never not so good. And when you watch a full season of him, or you follow him for a full year, you really come to appreciate, like, this dude just exists at a different level than the rest of the league in all aspects. He's a great fielder. He's a great hitter. He's fast. He runs the base as well. He has an incredible eye. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. The pitches he does swing at, he crushes. He's a real joy. And if the rest of the team was terrible, Mike Trout alone would be enough for most people to sway that vote. And Shohei Ohtani is the perfect complement to that. So I think the Angels is a nice calm pick. You went with the favorites across the American League, but I can't blame you for that. That's what bandwagoning is all about.
Oh, I love it, man. I can't wait till all four of these teams that I picked are in the playoffs. And I basically just cakewalk to the World Series wearing four hats and somehow still a Rocco Baldelli throwback. No, you talk about Ohtani and Trout, man. Albert Pujols still being in baseball is enough for me to root for this Angels team. Is Ohtani pitching? Because I know he didn't pitch last year, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to use him as a pitcher to the way that they originally planned to. He had, I think he had Tommy John last year, or he had enough of an injury that they decided to shut him down from pitching. I don't know that he will pitch this year, but as a hitter alone, he's worth the price of admission. He's an incredible hitter. He hits for great power. A beautiful stance, the kind of stance that you want to mimic. Even if he's only one way player, he's still really damn good and deserves to be an all-star. So you can't go wrong.
Yeah. So assuming somehow he pitches, I'm just going to officially predict that he bats 400, wins the AL MVP, and goes 9-0 as a pitcher with a 0.33 ERA and wins the Cy Young. That is my official prediction in the AL. All right. On to the NL East. Let's eliminate some teams here. Can we eliminate the Miami Marlins?
For sure. You have to.
I think they eliminate themselves, to be honest. Yes. Can we eliminate the Atlanta Braves?
Sure. It was going to be one of my recommendations, but I was raised to dislike the Atlanta Braves, which makes it so hard for me because they have my favorite player in the league right now, Ronald Acuna Jr. But if you don't want to cheer for the Braves, I have no problem telling you not to cheer for the Braves. That's easy for me.
Yeah, that's it's again just a merchandise problem. Like, I don't want to wear anything, yeah, you know, with the tomahawk on it and things totally. Like that. Okay, I'm open to hear about those other three teams though: Washington, the Mets, and the Phillies. If you want to pitch two out of those three.
Okay, well, the Phillies and Nationals comes down to how you feel about Bryce Harper. Do you like Bryce Harper or dislike Bryce Harper?
Oh, so I forgot to mention that I became a Washington Nationals fan. You know, as they were coming back from a 3-2 deficit in the World Series last year. So technically, I am a Washington Nationals fan at the moment. So I guess that's where I stand on the Bryce Harper debate.
Okay, so Nationals is an easy pick. Just like the year before, how they got rid of Bryce Harper and became better. Now they're going to do it without Anthony Rendon. It'll be tougher, but they have Juan Soto, who is the best, I'll say it, the best under 22-year-old player in the league. He is so awesome. When pitchers throw balls to him that aren't strikes, he does a little shuffle. He kicks his back foot forward and faces them square and grabs his crotch, and it drives pitchers fucking crazy. It's so good. There's a great clip from the World Series last year where he does it to Justin Verlander, and Verlander is so mad, and the next pitch he throws gets just demolished into deep right field. Juan Soto is a freak of nature. So I think Washington's a pretty safe pick here. The Mets, I sort of have a soft spot for. I like Marcus Stroman is a Met, and we all remember Marcus Stroman from his time here in Toronto. Pete Alonso's a big home run guy. But then the question is, can you be a Yankees and a Mets guy? Can you be that New York? I think you sort of have to draw a line in the sand, don't you?
I think so. The Mets are very close to Chinatown in Flushing, Queens, which might, you know, pull me in that direction. Is Max Scherzer still on the Nationals?
He is. Yes.
Okay, they have Scherzer. That man is a human Red Bull can. like, he's always so hyper. And I love Juan Soto. I think I remember that specific sequence. And it's funny how Verlander would complain about that, but not his own team spying on other teams. So I think it's down to the Nationals and Mets for me. Unless you can make a case for the Mets, I think I'm going to go with my Washington Nationals.
I think that being the defending champs, you get to go never underestimate the heart of a champion again. And you get to do it because they got rid of Rendon and Harper in back-to-back years. Plenty to like here. Plenty to like. You have Victor Robles, who is a center fielder who can is a five-tool guy that hasn't quite put it together yet. So if he does that, you have another guy. You say never underestimate this team's ability to develop prospects, which is all that matters. Yeah, Strasburg.
I can't wait to get one retweet on that.
Yeah, Nationals Twitter will be all about it. you get Strasburg and Scherzer, two absolute psychopaths, and you get Sean Doolittle, who is probably the best follow in all of baseball. He is you want not Republican. Sean Doolittle is probably the most outward facing lefty lefty politics guy you're going to find in baseball. He's a great Twitter follow and is not afraid to speak up on when shit is unfair or when baseball is trying to squeeze people on money. And he was outspoken on the COVID idea and the idea of traveling and playing. So you can't go wrong with the Nats. I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, and I spiritually root for the Montreal Expos, technically.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
So I'm going to go with that. NL Central. All right, this one is pretty open for me. Maybe I can eliminate Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're going to be bad. And the Jays will be in their stadium, maybe. So
yeah, playing at the same time. There's 18 guys on the field. So, yeah, I'm pretty open about the other four teams. Maybe I would knock off St. Louis, too, just because it's St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis is like... it's basically like a different Yankees, only not best fans in baseball. And it's, we talked about this in my, it's probably the whitest team in the league to cheer for. I think that's,
which I don't have a problem with necessarily, but this is not the white team I want to root for. So let's go Milwaukee, the Chicago Cubs and Cincinnati Reds. Which are your two out of those three?
Well, I like the Reds. You get a lot of history. You get, they're the oldest team, in I think professional sports or in America, professional sports, they've been around forever. Great history. You get Joey Votto, who is generally hilarious. The problem is you have to deal with Trevor Bauer, who is not great at, I don't like the NL Central in general. NL Central is a tricky one. You have to deal with Trevor Bauer. I would probably lean towards the Reds, but I wouldn't fault you for picking the Cubs instead. The Cubs issue, of course, is you picked the White Sox, and then you're looking at all Chicago, which is a great city, but that's a lot to go on. And the thing about Chicago is you missed the drought breaking year, right? So if you were going to bandwagon Chicago, you wanted to do it years ago before they became a good team. Now you're getting on when the team's already won a World Series. And they're just another team. You do get, of course, you get Javi Baez, who is one of the most fun guys in the league to watch. You get Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, two homegrown guys that are absolute stars and absolute studs. So I guess maybe the Cubs are the pick here. Wrigleyville is part of the attraction. They play in that super old stadium full of drunk idiots, which won't be full of drunk idiots, but maybe it is the Cubbies, even though they have won a World Series and they're not lovable losers anymore. A lot of fun guys to cheer for. And Javi Baez really does overrule a lot of other stuff. The Brewers, I feel nothing towards. I don't like the Milwaukee Brewers. I never have. I can't really explain it.
Yeah, I have no feelings towards the Brewers. I think I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
Nice.
I think, you know, even though, you know, despite Trevor Bauer, what is his deal anyways? Because he's so like outspoken. I mean, didn't he like apparently like write like Bush did 9/11 like on the mound?
Yeah. How do I describe, you know what, I think the best way to describe it is sort of he's like baseball Joe Rogan, you know what I mean?
Yeah, honestly, that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, one of those guys that I think he believes he's apolitical because he will entertain any thought, right? Like he'll listen to both sides, quote unquote, when in reality we know that listening to the side that is idiotic and racist is a bad idea. You don't have to listen to both sides, but he will do that to sort of to quote have the discussion, and that leads to negotiating in bad faith sometimes and getting into stupid arguments and bullying people. But also sometimes he'll make really good points about why the league is struggling. So it's a difficult tightrope to walk. You can always just boo him. He is a dick above all else, and he did cut his finger open playing with a drone before he pitched in a playoff game against the Blue Jays a couple years ago. So that's always going to be funny.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Reds. I can't wait to tweet, win one for Marge shot. So NL West, I'm going to need two teams here. I'm just going to claim the Dodgers because I need to claim the team that, you know, obviously can potentially be the favorite to win it all. To be honest, it's like, I know how loaded the Dodgers are, but then I also feel terrible for them that they lose in the playoffs every year.
Yeah, I love, not love, I wanted the Dodgers to do it last year because they had Russell Martin, who is one of my favorite players ever. They added Mookie Betts, who is, you know, one of the most fun players in the league, a rare black star. They don't come along as much as they used to in baseball, probably the highest profile black player in the league. And as well, they have three guys right now that could conceivably be MVPs. Like, Betts could be an MVP candidate. Cody Bellinger could be an MVP candidate. Corey Seager could be an MVP candidate. So you're looking at a really stacked lineup. As well, you get Clayton Kershaw, who on one hand, you're cheering for probably the best pitcher of the generation. But on the other hand, he struggled in the playoffs. So you get to be like, I'm riding for my guy, Clayton, to finally break through and get his notoriety, similar to how we all saw with David Price a couple years ago. And you also get to cheer for David Price, even though he's not playing, he is ponying up all the money to pay for the Dodgers minor leaguers. So he has the moral high ground on deciding not to play and the even more high ground on paying for the minor leaguers. So Dodgers are a great choice. My second choice will be the beigest team in the league, the San Diego Padres.
I don't know why. I was hoping you would say the Padres. So I'm really excited about this.
Because it's not the Giants. The Giants are going to be really bad. The Diamondbacks, I hate looking at their uniforms, really ugly uniforms. So it comes down to the Rockies and the Padres. And the Padres have one of the most fun guys to watch in the league in Fernando Tatis Jr., who is the son, believe it or not, of Fernando Tatis. He is crazy. Like, you should do yourself a favor when we're done this and just put in Fernando Tatis highlights in YouTube. He is a guy that he scores from second base on infield singles. He tags up from third on pop-ups in the infield. He runs the bases like a maniac, which is the most fun thing you can do. He makes crazy plays in the outfield or at shortstop. Pardon me. He makes crazy plays. He makes great throws. He's athletic. He tries things that nobody else tries. And it's really, really, really fun to watch. They also added, last year they added Manny Machado. They have Eric Hosmer. They are the team the last couple of years that has not been afraid to spend money in free agency to get better. Most teams avoid that like the plague, but they have done it. You also get Tommy Pham, who is an awesome, great, fun player. Francisco Mejia, who is a rookie catcher who's supposed to be really good. Chris Paddock is a young pitcher. There's a lot of young, exciting guys. They're sort of like West Coast Blue Jays. They remind me a little bit as well of the White Sox in that they have a core of young stars that they have complemented by making big free agent moves. So I think the Padres are a nice one because, again, you probably don't know any Padres fans. There aren't really many Padres fans. It's a quiet sort of keep to yourself type team. And you can tweet about them all you want and no one will be like, you cheer for the Padres? Come on. So it's a nice safe pick that maybe they won't make the playoffs, but they'll be at least fun to watch. And I appreciate that. And it's a nice pairing to go with the Dodgers, who are basically Yankees West.
Yeah, you know, I have to go with the Dodgers just because everybody knows how much I love Magic Johnson.
Right.
And I know he's part of the ownership group. I feel like San Diego, out of all these teams that we've picked, that's like the best bandwagon team. Because, like, yes. Nobody is a San Diego Padres fan.
Barely. Yeah. And they have a beautiful stadium and every day in San Diego is beautiful. It's always a nice day. I think that's the best pick of the eight. I think the Padres is the best pick of this whole list.
They still got those camouflage jerseys though. That's the one.
Okay.
Yes. I can overlook that. If I can overlook Trevor Bauer, I can overlook some camo jerseys. Shout outs to Fernando Tatis. The OG Fernando Tatis. I'm old enough to remember when he hit two grand slams in one inning.
Yeah. Yeah. His son is, I tell you, Tatis Jr., probably the most fun player to watch in the whole league. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah, and like nobody talks about him. I guess people in baseball circles talk about him, but like that's not a name you hear about.
Yeah, he got hurt a little bit through last year, but playing on the West Coast is similar to Trout. Like if Mike Trout played for the Yankees, he would be enormous. But the West Coast baseball teams, more so even than, like, you know, you think of the Lakers or some of the West Coast basketball or football or even hockey teams, they get a little more pub because these West Coast baseball games go on until like 1:30 in the morning and nobody in the Eastern Coast is staying up to watch. And San Diego hasn't been a relevant team in a little while. So that's probably part of it. But he alone is worth the price of admission, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I once visited San Diego for Comic-Con. I believe this was like 20 years ago now. So I do have ties to San Diego. So there we go. The teams I'm rooting for this year in the AL are the New York Yankees, Toronto Blue Jays, Chicago White Sox, and LA Angels. In the NL, the Washington, Montreal Expos, Nationals, the Cincinnati Reds, except when Trevor Bauer starts. So right. I'm going to root for them 4 out of every 5 days. The Los Angeles Dodgers, and I'm most excited about the San Diego Padres. I think I'm going to have to buy a hat.
Yeah, and as a extra side thing, when you wear a San Diego Padres hat, you're shouting out Sean Desmond as well, a little old school CanCon.
Holy shit. Why didn't you just make that your pitch? You didn't have to tell me about Fernando Tatis's son.
People in my high school didn't, like, somebody warned me against buying a Padres hat in high school because of Sean Desmond. I was like, who in the world's going to make that fucking connection? But I guess more people in my high school knew Sean Desmond than knew Trevor Hoffman.
That is amazing. You know, I know I've kept you for really long, but last thing, what do you think is the top three most slept on MLB hats? Because you talked about like Chicago White Sox. We talked about the Yankees. Obviously, people are very familiar with those mm-hmm. hats. Like, I would put San Diego on that list. Who else would you put in that underrated MLB hat list?
I love the Mariners hat. I love that. I love that teal. I've always loved that Mariners hat. I think it's gorgeous. The Cardinals, that STL, I think that's really beautiful typeface. Always really enjoyed that. Are we saying LA doesn't count? Is LA too big? Because that cool
yeah,
LA.
I think the Dodgers are pretty big. I don't see a lot of people wearing the Angels. I like the throwback Angels stuff better.
And I like the Tigers. I think that beautiful D when it's stitched on nicely is a really nice one. And honorable mention to the Mr. Redlegs version of the Reds, where it's the dude who has a baseball for a head. I have a Mr. Redlegs hat from when I went to Cincinnati. So those are my slept on.
I like the Cincinnati one a lot. I also love how certain hats you just associate with people. Like, I associate the Pittsburgh Pirates hat with Keyshawn now, just because he's the only person I know who's ever worn a Pirates hat.
There's your big baseball offseason addition, by the way. Major League Baseball itself added Keyshawn. I mean, if that's not a sell job on the 2020 season, what is?
Yeah, this man is always posting on Instagram every day like a graphic for MLB Mexico. And I'm like, how does MLB have a regional account for like literally every country? People don't talk enough about how Keyshawn's career path is similar to Michael Jordan. If you just think about it, they're mm-hmm. on similar paths, basketball, and then went to play baseball. So we'll see what happens with Keyshawn.
Bro, every single day he posts like updating my portfolio, and I'm like, dude, slow down! Holy shit, I'm aging way too fast. Ridiculous.
He's got like a split screen where he's making a graphic, and at the same time he's importing it into his portfolio. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Like, it's up on his personal website before it's up on MLB Nueva York.
Baseball, BEISBOL.
It's amazing. Well, Zoobs, I appreciate this. I'm really excited about the baseball season. I can't wait to watch like 11 games in total while rooting for my 8 teams. I think that sounds about right for me. So yeah, enjoy the baseball season. Any predictions, a World Series prediction?
I will do the bold prediction that I think they will finish the season. I know that's gutsy, but I think we'll have a full year, and I think maybe I'm going too obvious. Maybe I'm going too high end, but let's do Yankees Dodgers. Let's give the world what they want. They want East Coast versus West Coast. We deserve the powerhouse matchup like that. Give me Yankees Dodgers. So you have to cheer for both teams, and you can't lose in that situation.
Oh man, I can't wait to get to like the championship series and I have my four teams all locked in. Yankees Dodgers will be amazing. This is going to be Louis Vuitton versus Prada. I cannot wait. Zoops, thanks for this, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much, man.